Astronomy and Space with David Renneke.
Good morning, David Renneke. How are you?
Good to catch up with you again, Brent.
Likewise, mate. Thank you very much for joining me on the Weekend Breakfast, which is what we're doing now. I wanted to talk to you about these two astronauts, Sunny Williams and Butch Wilmore. They blasted into the International Space Station on June 5. They were supposedly going to be there for what was an 8-day mission, but they're now stuck there until next year. So there's two reasons for me wanting to talk to you today. That, why are they stuck, and why can't they come back until next year? And secondly, there was a noise. They found a noise this week. I think it was Butch Wilmore. A strange noise was reported by one of the stranded US astronauts, and apparently they found out what that strange noise is. So why don't we cover the strange noise first, because it would be a weird thing, would it not, to be at the space station and you hear this strange noise coming from a speaker, I believe, and you're not too sure what it is.
Oh, you betcha. I mean, you're in space there. What's around you? There's no one around you. No one's got a radio on. No one's playing anything. And all of a sudden, over the system, right through the intercom, right throughout the space station, you get this weird noise, feedback. And that's all it was. It was really just the feedback coming through from the system they've got there. And it just underpins, you know, and sort of indicates that they still don't have conformity up there. You know, you've got two or three different nations at the moment looking up or working up there, and they come up with their own gear, their own equipment, and they've got to connect it. It's like going to a radio station. You're trying to hook up somebody's gear, and it doesn't go through your panel properly. Well, all it was a bit of feedback coming through, but it was weird, and it was sort of unexpected, but NASA said they looked into that and there was really nothing to it. Remember the old days, I don't know how far you can go back. I can go back to day one. The Wright brothers there, I think I met all of them at one point. I don't know. But when we used to sit there as a kid, your set was about the size of a small fridge in those days. And you'd hear, you go through all of the different stations, you'd hear that funny noise in between. That's all it was, just a little bit of feedback coming through the system. But coupled with all that's going on up there, it did make headlines right around the world.
It did, because no one knew what it was. And as you're right, it would be off-putting being up there having these weird, strange sounds. Okay, so it was just feedback. Well, that's good news. Let's move on to why they're still there. They were supposed to be there on an 8-day mission. There were problems. I understand there were problems, right? But why do they have to wait until after Christmas to be taken back to Earth? Why can't they send a space station vehicle, whatever they call it, up to rescue them, to bring them back to Earth? Is it more difficult than that?
Yeah, it is. The problem with this is the reason they're still there is they can't come back on the Starliner. Boeing don't need this. They didn't need this to happen on top of everything that went wrong with their aeroplanes over the last 12 months or so. Look, it just highlights and raises the stupidity of the incompatibility of the space program at the moment. You've got SpaceX as the main competitor, and here's Starliner, put together by Boeing, both vying for the NASA contract and both very worthwhile competitors. But SpaceX has had years in front of Boeing, and Boeing have gone ahead with their own engineers and thought, we're going to build our country that way. You can go to heck. You know, we're going to... And they haven't. It's all about non-conformity. And you would think in this day and age, with just two competing companies like this and the advent of space tourism, which is on our doorstep, you would have some sort of conformity with at least the equipment you're using, so you could interchange your crews if you wanted to. So the whole basis of the problem here is that Starliner, this vehicle that's attached to the space station, can't bring them back, because just after they arrived, they found out there were sealing problems. They couldn't really make sure the capsule was going to be sealed properly. You don't want to put people in there and not have them being able to breathe. But more than that, the biggest problem was that you couldn't steer it. Well, not couldn't, but they weren't sure, because some of the steering jets, little gas jets that come, they're on the spacecraft, that would steer it left and right, up and down. It's like your car, if your car went on the highway and your steering went on you, you're in trouble. So NASA sat there and they had a heck of a lot of time considering this. They got the people with Boeing together, they got their best people together, and Bill Nelson, who's a very, very smart and capable man, head of NASA, said, we're not going to risk anyone's life. We've already lost two spacecraft with two crews on board. We don't want to... So I think that was the best idea, the best mission. Now, the Starliner itself is on its way back. I believe it left there a couple of hours ago, and it should arrive about lunchtime, your time, our time. And when it does, they're going to have a look at it and try and find out what went wrong. They couldn't do that up there. And the choice was, Boeing said, we want to bring them back. That'll be okay. Look, you can't go back on a maybe. You've got two people's lives at stake here. So I think the best decision was made to keep them on board there until next year. And, you know, SpaceX can't get there until then. It's not his fault. But at least they're up there and they're safe. And when that vehicle does arrive, they're going to get it in the lab and find out what went wrong. But, you know, Boeing didn't need this. So they're still safe and sound when they're up. They're up there now, seven people on board. And, look, you've got to understand that this is a cramped situation. You're talking about a crew that's almost doubled, you know, and you've got a few people up there that didn't expect to be there. Is there enough to last them? Yes, there is. There's a lot of water up there. There's food up there for 12 months. But they're going to be up there for... You're going to get in people's way, and everyone's going to get a little bit yippy, you know. You've got to be careful. These people are trained for that. I don't think we're looking at any major dramas with this mission at the moment, but look, we certainly didn't want this to happen, and that spacecraft should arrive. Let's hope it gets back.
Let me ask you a quick couple of questions. Number one, as I understand it, a craft has to leave Earth and dock with the space station to enable these astronauts to get back into that vehicle and go back to Earth, right? So it's got to dock. Okay, so it's now in a position to be able to take another vehicle because that other vehicle's on its way back to Earth. Hopefully we'll be back here by lunchtime. So am I correct in saying there could be another vehicle sent from Earth and dock and get these astronauts out? Why don't they knock on the door of China or Russia or other countries that are flying around in space?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, the dissension there is between China and America and Russia at the moment. It's not a nice, comfortable fit like it used to be. SpaceX are willing to do it, but he said, I'm going to do it on my time frame, and that's right, I can't do it on yours. You know, the man just can't expect him to jump into that thing and put a whole mission together. He can bring them back. But there's an issue of conformity with the spacesuits. This is the silly part about it. You know, these spacesuits are not designed to fit in with that capsule. When you get in the capsule, you've got to be hooked up, your breathing's got to be put, your heart monitoring, your respiration, the whole lot. There's a lot of gear that goes into that seating there. It's pretty well, you know, matched to the astronaut's body in a lot of cases. But when SpaceX go up there in February next year, hopefully a bit earlier, he may change his mind. But if he does, he's going to have two seats spare in that. We're going to be four. And SpaceX, Elon Musk is the one that's taking all the people up there now and taking all the supplies up there. But he's not scheduled to go up there till February. So he's told NASA, we will do it. We can do it. But you're going to have to wait a little while.
How far out is the space station from Earth?
380K. It's moving at 28,000K an hour.
That's about slow. You throw these figures too quick. It's 380K and it's moving...
380K.
And it's moving how fast?
28,000K an hour. When you see it moving overhead, it's going 8 kilometres a second. Now, that'll go around the world once every 90 minutes in a corkscrew fashion, Brent. So it doesn't go over the same place twice. It's about the size of the Melbourne cricket ground, this one, but it's a lot brighter at the moment. When you go out and have a look at it, not now, but before, we had a few people running around. I rang up the Super Radio Network with some of the early morning guys, and we had some of your people running out there and having a look at it. Very, very bright, because that Starliner was attached to it. It was much brighter than it was before. But look, they see 16 sunrises, 16 sunsets every day. And here's a funny thing a lot of people don't know about. I'd like to bring this up. Two things that they have to get used to when you get back. You know, when you come off a cruise, you've got to get your sea legs. You think that'd be what they'd have to get used to, but it's not. It's not forgetting to let go of the coffee cup at the breakfast table. So a lot of the families say that the blokes come back there and they're chatting away, and they got the coffee, because on the space station you can leave your mug in front of you, turn around, grab your pad and pencil, come back, it's still sitting there. But here's another one that not many people know about. They have to get used to the irritating factor the clothes you wear irritate you. When you're in space for over 12 months, your skin becomes very, very soft, very supple, and you've got no weight of the clothes on your body. So when you come back here, you can feel the sleeves on your arm, the trouser leg rubbing against your leg. And it's a lot of the astronauts say it's pretty much like having wet clothes to wear. You just got to get used to it for a little while.
All right, David, I know you've got a commitment at 10:30. Thank you for taking some time to share with us this morning and explain those things. It's always fascinating. We find out something different each and every time we talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Much appreciated, Brent. Bye-bye.
Thank you, David. Bye-bye. If you're into that sort of thing, David's got a website. Renike, just Google Renike, R-E-N-E-K-E, R-E-N-E-K-E. He's got a great website. It's got all those sort of facts and figures and other stories on it. But isn't that fascinating? 380 kilometres away from Earth is the space station. It travels at 28,000 kilometres per hour. 8 kilometres per second.